There's something so compelling about the idea of a public food forest. It attracts as many as 100 volunteers at a time to scheduled work parties. Gustavo Martinez wields a pickaxe to break sod. Like other volunteers, he's eager to see a favorite seedling mature.
I like fig trees because they're big and broad and they make shade, and also because I love figs. So I really can't wait to sit in the shade of a fig tree and read a book and eat some figs.
It'll be a little while, though, before Martinez can realize his dream. The groundbreaking for the Beacon Food Forest happened less than a year ago. The edible botanical garden will be developed in phases across a 7-acre terraced hillside. It's located in an ethnically diverse urban neighborhood in view of Seattle's downtown skyline. Project co-founder Jacqueline Kramer says the plan is to recreate the kind of diverse, productive forest that probably sustained many prior civilizations.
So this is an area that we've named the Nut Guild, and the guild is like a family or a cooperating unit.
The food forest Kramer envisions has many layers, starting with a canopy of tall nut trees. Planted beside them, shorter fruit trees, now just saplings.
We have pear trees in a pear guild, a variety of plums, apples. And then we're starting to put in an understory to emulate the forest instead of just being an orchard of rows of trees.
Kramer shows off blueberries, a gooseberry bush, currants, kale, and lettuces.
The ground has strawberries as a ground cover. There were strawberries here. The school kids enjoyed them with us.
Kramer's group can almost be seen as a modern tribe that's come together to grow its own food. This isn't just being done out of a motivation, though, to sidestep the world's growing mass food industries. What the people here are doing resembles what villagers and extended families from Morocco to India to Vietnam have done for centuries, up to the present day, namely producing food cheaply and locally. But Kramer says what makes this food forest different is that it's open to the general public. Anyone can walk in and graze on whatever's ripe, such as this tasty broccoli, which is just in season.
They're getting a lot of water. They taste sweet.
They do. Mm-hmm. This is nicer, a lot nicer than store broccoli, I have to say.
The communal open harvest piece, it's really uncommon. That's probably why we're getting a lot of attention. It kind of ruffles people's feathers. Yeah. And we'll learn as we go. We don't know how it'll work.
Volunteers Peter Lang and Giovanni Delino say they attended many meetings where the neighborhood discussed the likelihood for abuse of the scheme. But in the end, they're just going to have to hope for the best.
Sometimes with the garden, you plant some plants to let the bugs eat. So we might have to do that. Plant some trees just for people to eat and, you know, hide some others somewhere or something. I don't know.
We kind of hope for the best in people's nature in that there's respect and that people will not necessarily abuse that. And somehow we hope for the abundance that when some people do, sometimes we'll be able to be resilient and it'll work through that. When we eventually, in 50 years, have huge nut trees, there will be more nuts than anybody can eat, I think.
There's a lot of us working here. And so there's a lot of people that will keep coming, and we're here to steward the land.
Lang and Delino say another reason they're confident the project will succeed comes from their observations of users of community gardening areas in the U.S. and other parts of the world. Their gardeners typically cultivate individual plots, which they rent in a public area. Theft and vandalism happens, but it generally stays at a low level. The Seattle project includes some individual plots too, but what really brings the community together and ignites imaginations is the process of cultivating the city's first public food forest. Tom Bonsi, DW, Seattle, USA.